We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Interest rates and the swelling gap between what the federal government brings in and what it spends. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the House of Representatives has yet to consider President Biden's request for more than $105 billion in foreign aid, since there's no leader of the House, no speaker. The funding request includes $14 billion for Israel, given the Israel-Hamas war. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more now on the history of U.S. aid to Israel and stipulations the U.S. attaches.
The Congressional Research Service says the U.S. has given Israel $158 billion since Israel was founded, not adjusting for inflation. That makes Israel one of the biggest recipients of U.S. foreign aid since World War II. Brian Katulis at the Middle East Institute says the U.S. and Israel have developed things like the Iron Dome air defense system together.
So it's very much interlinked, and they're joint projects.
U.S. aid to Israel generally comes with strings attached to prevent human rights abuses. On a call with reporters previewing last week's foreign aid request, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said all U.S. arms transfers to Israel are, in his words, rooted in the basic proposition they'll be used consistent with the law of armed conflict. But Brian Katulis says it's hard to police this aid.
Okay, how are they going to then try to enforce that and use this as leverage in a way that doesn't undermine the mission?
Katulis says any U.S. ally receiving aid has its own agenda, and U.S. officials may not have as much leverage as they think. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We're also covering the latest on the limited shipments of humanitarian aid now going into Gaza. Much-needed gasoline and diesel is not included so far. Who distributes this aid? That discussion is in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss it on the air today. We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The U.S. government ran a budget deficit of nearly $1.7 trillion for the accounting year which ended in September. The Treasury Department says that is up 25% from the year before. The macroeconomy is part of this much bigger gap between what we spend and what we bring in. Mark Goldwine is Senior Policy Director for the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. He spoke with my colleague, Sabri Benishore.
You know, there were so many pandemic era programs that have wound down. We had those relief payments, the tax credits. If those are gone, shouldn't that have helped bring deficits down?
Well, it has. 2020 and 2021, deficits were about $3 trillion a year. Over the last year, we borrowed $2 trillion. Deficits are down. They're just not down nearly enough.
Why is that? I mean, you know, the budget deficit is government spending more than it's taking in. Is it growing because the government is spending more or taking in less?
It's a little bit of both. After surging revenue in 2022, 2023 actually saw revenue decline pretty substantially as a share of the economy. But spending is also continuing to surge, especially in Social Security and Medicare, in part due to high inflation and interest costs, which really are exploding out of control. And interest rates right now are about a percentage above even what was projected less than a year ago. If that continues, interest will be the second largest government program by 2026. The only thing larger will be Social Security.
So taking a quick look at the money coming in, why has that fallen?
2022 was actually an unusually strong year for revenue. We had huge capital gains because the stock market did so well the year before. We had huge taxable income because inflation boosts wages first, and it's only indexed in the tax code on a delay. And so a lot of what happened last year in 2023 was just a come down from that one-time surge. And the Federal Reserve, which had been providing about $100 billion a year, is now actually losing money thanks to high interest rates.
So that brings us to the debt. You know, the deficits that happen every year, those add up to become the national debt. How much debt is too much debt? Where is the line?
So I like to look at debt held by the public, which is about $26 trillion, about the same size as the economy. That's twice what it's been historically. Our debt is usually about half the size of the economy. Where we hit the crisis probably isn't a specific level. It's the point that there's no going back. The point that our trajectory is so out of control that investors look at the United States and say, there's no way we can bring this back under control. And a couple years ago, I might have said, we got decades for that. But that was when interest rates were 2, 3, 3.5%. Now that interest rates are 5% plus in many cases, that day of reckoning may be coming much sooner.
There is so much drama and fighting in Congress right now over deficits, over the debt. But the only area where people seem to be talking about finding savings is discretionary spending. This is defense spending, funding for things like the EPA. If you put all that together, it is just a quarter of the budget. Is fiddling with that really going to solve anything?
No, look, so we need to take discretionary spending seriously. But as you mentioned, appropriations are actually only a quarter of the budget. And they're not growing particularly fast. They're growing quite slow under projections. The real issue is we need to address the cost of healthcare, Medicare, Medicaid. We need to address the cost of retirement, especially Social Security. And we need to look at the revenue side, at the $1.7 trillion of tax breaks we give every year.
Mark Goldwein is the Senior Vice President and Senior Policy Director for the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Note that the budget deficit would look even bigger than that $1.7 trillion if they hadn't adjusted the numbers for that federal student loan forgiveness program. The Supreme Court struck that down over the summer, so it never went into effect, and the adjustment for not spending that money makes this deficit appear smaller. Of course, this also means the deficit from a year ago looked worse than it was. Who says accounting isn't fun? I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.